Welcome to Micro Prepping and today's featured story, Doomsday or Smart Planning, why thousands are stockpiling these 12 organic superfoods.
Hey everyone, welcome back. You know how this works. You send us some intriguing stuff and we take a deep dive into it.
That's right. Always happy to explore new ideas and see what we can uncover.
Exactly. And this time around, we're tackling the world of, well, organic prepping.
Oh, interesting. That's a new one.
Right. I know. It's definitely a twist on the more traditional prepping concept.
For sure. So what are we looking at specifically?
We've got this article here from a website called Micro Prepping, and it's titled Doomsday or Smart Planning, Why Thousands Are Stockpiling These 12 Organic Superfoods. Like with everything that's been happening in the world, it feels like there's this growing sense of, I don't know, maybe a little unease about the future.
Absolutely. People are looking for ways to feel more secure, more in control. Right, exactly. And that's where this whole organic prepping thing comes in. What's fascinating to me is how it's not just about, you know, hunkering down and waiting for the apocalypse.
Yeah, it seems like it's more about taking charge of your health and your food sources, building resilience in a world that feels increasingly unpredictable.
You hit the nail on the head, and the article jumps right into the why behind this shift. They call out three major, quote, cracks in the system that are pushing people towards organic prepping.
Cracks in the system, huh? That sounds ominous. Lay it on me. What are they talking about?
Okay, so first up is this idea of a corporate stranglehold on our food supply. Basically, it's about how vulnerable we are because we rely so heavily on this massive industrial food production system.
Yeah, I can see that. We've seen how easily those systems can be disrupted, especially in recent years.
Exactly. And they give some real-world examples in the article. They talk about the pandemic panic buying back in 2020. Remember those empty supermarket shelves?
Oh, yeah. How could I forget? It's like everyone suddenly realized how fragile those just-in-time supply chains really are.
Totally. Empty shelves are a pretty convincing argument. But then they go on to talk about the economic turmoil of 2022 when inflation went crazy. Suddenly, a basic grocery run felt like a luxury for a lot of people.
Right. And that's a feeling that unfortunately hasn't gone away for many. It makes you realize just how vulnerable we are to these larger forces, these economic shifts that are totally out of our control.
And it's not just about the cost. It's about access, too. The article mentions those international tensions back in 2023 and 2024, the ones that disrupted grain exports from major producers.
Oh, right. The ones that caused those shortages and price spikes around the world. It was a stark reminder that something happening on the other side of the planet can have a very direct impact on what we can access or even afford at our local grocery store.
Precisely. So we've got this potential for instability in the system itself, but the article goes even deeper than that. It's not just about the availability of food, it's about the quality of what's ending up on our plates.
Okay, so it's about more than just having enough food, it's about having good food.
Right. They have a whole section titled The Hidden Poisons on Your Plate, which, you know, might sound a little dramatic, but they're talking about the growing concern around artificial ingredients, GMOs. Those are genetically modified organisms, by the way, and all the pesticide residues that are found in conventionally produced food.
Ah, I see. So it's tapping into that desire for cleaner, healthier food, something that's more in line with people's values.
Exactly. And that's where the appeal of organic food comes in. It speaks to that desire for something pure, something untainted, something you can trust to nourish your body.
And it's interesting how this connects back to prepping. It's not just about surviving an emergency. It's about choosing a different way to eat day in and day out.
It's like prepping becomes a lifestyle choice, not just a survival strategy. But there's this third crack that they bring up, the battle over food sovereignty. And this is where things get really interesting for me.
Food sovereignty. Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
They're talking about increasing regulations around how people grow and obtain their food. They mention crackdowns on things like backyard farming, selling raw dairy, even something as basic as collecting rainwater.
Wow, really? That's getting pretty serious. That sounds like it goes way beyond just food safety regulations.
It does, and that's where the deeper implication lies. This isn't just about what's in the grocery store anymore. It's about personal autonomy, the right to choose how and what you consume, even if that means opting out of the mainstream system altogether.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a powerful motivator, that desire for self-sufficiency, especially when the systems we rely on start to feel shaky.
Exactly. It's like a primal urge, that need to be able to provide for yourself and your family no matter what. But okay, the article doesn't just talk about the why of organic prepping. They get into the what as well.
The what as in what to stockpile.
You got it. They have this list of 12 organic superfoods that are apparently prepper favorites.
Superfoods, huh? All right, I'm all ears. Let's hear it. What are these magical foods that can withstand the apocalypse?
Well, first up is raw honey. They call it the timeless healer.
Raw honey. Okay, I can see that. It lasts forever, right?
Indefinite shelf life, supposedly.
Yeah.
And they talk about all these antibacterial properties and medicinal uses. You know, thinking about situations where access to healthcare might be limited, having a stockpile of honey could be incredibly valuable.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Practical and potentially life-saving.
Hmm.
What else is on this superfood list? I'm ready to stock my pantry.
Okay. Next up, organic dried beans. They say these have a shelf life of over 25 years.
Wow, 25 years. That's impressive. But beans alone aren't exactly a balanced diet, are they?
Right, but they're a great source of protein, especially when you combine them with, say, rice to form a complete protein.
Ah, the classic beans and rice combo. A true survival staple. Speaking of which, is rice on the list? It feels like it has to be.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. They call it the survival carb. White rice specifically has a shelf life of over 30 years, packed with calories, and pretty simple to prepare, even if you don't have a fully functional kitchen.
Practicality is key in a crisis, that's for sure. So, I've got honey, beans, rice. What other long-lasting goodies make the cut?
Let's see. Oh, next on the list is organic quinoa.
Quinoa. Interesting. So we're getting a little fancy with our apocalypse menu.
Hey, just because the world is ending doesn't mean we can't enjoy a little variety. But seriously, it makes sense. Quinoa has a shelf life of over 10 years. Plus, it's packed with protein and fiber. They actually highlight it as a more nutrient-dense option compared to rice.
Okay, quinoa, the overachiever of the grain world. I like it. What's next?
All right, how about another pantry staple? Organic oats. They've got a shelf life of around 25 years, provide long-lasting energy, and are a good source of those key minerals.
Oatmeal. Can't go wrong with that. Yeah. Warm, filling, and apparently it can last for decades. This is making me hungry. What else have they got?
Well, they go beyond just grains and beans. They also recommend freeze-dried organic fruits.
Ooh, that's a good idea. A little vitamin boost to go with all those carbs?
Right. You're not just surviving on bland carbs. You're getting your fruit fix, too. And these can last for 25-plus years. And retain most of their nutritional value.
So we're not just surviving, we're thriving.
Yeah.
Okay, what else is on this superfood list? Spill the beans, mm-hmm. or the fruits, or whatever.
Right, next up, organic powdered milk.
Powdered milk. Hmm, interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that one.
It's actually super versatile, good for baking and drinking, and has a shelf life of over 20 years.
Okay, I'm starting to see the appeal. You could bake a cake during the apocalypse. I'm sold. What else?
Let's see. Oh, they're big fans of organic coconut oil. They call it a multi-purpose marvel with a shelf life of over 10 years.
Coconut oil. Now that's a good one. I use that for everything already.
Right. It's like the Swiss Army knife of the pantry. They highlight its uses in cooking, skincare, even wound care.
Seriously. Coconut oil can do it all.
Yeah.
I'm starting to understand why these are considered superfoods. They're not just about calories. They've got all these other benefits built in.
Exactly. And next up, Himalayan salt.
Himalayan salt. Okay, that one seems a little basic.
I know, right? But it's not just for flavor. They emphasize its importance for food preservation, maintaining electrolyte balance.
Oh, right. Electrolytes are essential, especially in a survival situation.
Exactly. And the best part is, it has an indefinite shelf life.
Okay, Himalayan salt, officially on my shopping list. What's next?
Another one with an indefinite shelf life. Apple cider vinegar. They call it an all-purpose elixir.
Apple cider vinegar. Yeah, that's another one that's good for pretty much everything. They list uses for digestion, food preservation, and even cleaning.
Talk about multitasking. All right, we're getting close to the end of the list. Two more to go. Next up, chia seeds.
Chia seeds. Interesting. Those are tiny, aren't they?
Okay.
How much could you really stockpile?
Well, they highlight their high omega-3 content and the fact that they expand when soaked, making them a good way to stay hydrated. They have a shelf life of 4 to 10 years.
Ah, I see. Small but mighty. All right, what's the final superfood that rounds out this incredible list?
Last but not least, organic dark chocolate.
Chocolate. Okay, if the world is ending, at least we'll have chocolate. I'm feeling much better prepared already.
Me too. But this list, impressive as it is really just the starting point, right? The article goes on to talk about the practicalities of actually building a resilient food supply for the long term.
Right, because it's not just about having the right foods. It's about storing them properly so they actually last.
Exactly. What are some of the key strategies they suggest?
Well, they talk a lot about using Mylar bags and oxygen absorbers to keep food fresh for decades. It's all about creating an airtight environment that prevents spoilage.
Decades. Wow, that's incredible. What else do they recommend?
Vacuum sealing is another key strategy. Helps to block out moisture and contaminants, extending the shelf life of your food.
Makes sense. So it's not just about the what, it's about the how and the where of food storage. Any other tips they offer?
Yeah, they emphasize keeping your storage spaces cool and dark for temperature stability.
Got it. Cool and dark, check. Any other storage wisdom?
One more thing. They really stress the importance of following the FIFO method.
FIFO, what's that?
It stands for first in, first out. Basically, you rotate your stock, so you're using the older supplies first to prevent waste.
Oh, right. That makes a lot of sense. I can definitely see how that would be helpful, especially when you're dealing with long-term storage. So we've covered the why, the what, and the how of organic prepping, but I feel like we've only scratched the surface here.
Absolutely. There's so much more to unpack. This is more than just filling your pantry. It's about a whole philosophy of self-reliance and taking control of your health and well-being.
It really challenges us to rethink our relationship with food and the systems we depend on.
It does. And I think when we come back, we should dive into those deeper implications, the potential societal impacts of this growing organic prepping trend, what it might mean for the future of food. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. Can't wait to explore that further. We'll be back after a quick break.
Welcome back, everyone. We're still digging into this whole organic prepping thing, and it's pretty fascinating stuff. It really is. Before the break, we were talking about that list of 12 organic superfoods, right?
Yeah.
Everything from honey and beans to quinoa and even chocolate.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive grocery list for building a resilient pantry, that's for sure. But, you know, what I'm finding really fascinating is the mindset behind all of this.
Right.
It's not just about, you know, stocking up on whatever lasts the longest. It's like a deliberate approach to creating a healthier and more sustainable way of eating, even in a crisis.
Totally. The article really emphasizes how organic prepping is about taking responsibility for your own well-being, choosing foods that align with your values, and yeah, I think that resonates with a lot of people.
It does. And they tie this back to that idea of a corporate stranglehold, right? That sense that the industrial food system is becoming increasingly unreliable and potentially even harmful with all its emphasis on processed foods and artificial ingredients.
Right. And that's where organic prepping becomes almost like a form of protest, a way of opting out of that system and reclaiming control over what you consume.
Yeah. It's like a vote for a different way of eating and living, one that prioritizes quality and sustainability and, you know, personal autonomy. And it makes me wonder what happens if this trend continues to grow, you know? What if more and more people start embracing this self-sufficient, organic approach to food?
Well, it's interesting to think about. On a societal level, it could potentially lead to, I don't know, maybe like a shift in power away from those large corporations that dominate the food industry and back towards individuals and communities.
That's a pretty radical idea, but it's also kind of hopeful, right? Like, imagine a world where communities are more connected to their food sources, where people are growing their own organic produce and, I don't know, trading with their neighbors, preserving food for the long term.
Yeah, it's almost like a return to our agricultural roots, but with a modern twist. You know, incorporating those health-conscious and sustainability-focused values that are driving the organic movement.
And it's all tied to that sense of resilience we were talking about, right? That ability to adapt and thrive in the face of uncertainty. This whole organic prepping movement really challenges us to rethink our relationship with food on a fundamental level.
It does. It asks us to consider, like, where our food comes from, how it's grown, and what impact it has on our health and the planet. You know, it forces us to weigh the trade-offs between convenience and control, because relying on that globalized food system, it comes at a cost.
It does, yeah. And it's not just a financial cost. It's a cost to our health, our environment, and maybe even our personal autonomy. So even if full-scale prepping isn't something everyone wants to embrace, I think there are still some valuable lessons to be learned from this movement.
Definitely. Things like, you know, the importance of having a well-stocked pantry, knowing how to preserve food for the long term, maybe even trying your hand at growing some of your own organic produce.
It's about taking small steps towards greater self-sufficiency and, you know, having a plan in place just in case those cracks in the system we talked about start to widen.
Being proactive rather than reactive. Taking control of your own food destiny, even in small ways.
Exactly. But, you know, all this talk about organic prepping and, you know, this potential shift in power, it raises an important question. Is this just a fringe movement, something that appeals to a small group of people? Or are we witnessing a larger cultural shift in how people view food security and self-sufficiency?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. And we're going to tackle that question head on when we come back. Stay with us. It really is a big question. Is this like a blip on the radar, or is it something bigger?
Yeah, it's hard to say for certain, but I think there are a lot of things happening all at once.
What do you mean?
Well, like we talked about, the economic instability, the climate concerns, and...
And the distrust in large institutions.
Right? Exactly. And you can't forget about the focus on health and wellness.
People wanting to eat more natural foods.
Yeah. So it's like all of these things are coming together. It really makes you think about organic prepping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like a perfect storm that's pushing people towards self-reliance.
Yeah, exactly.
And have you thought about the role of technology in all of this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The internet and social media are huge. I mean, think about how prepping knowledge is shared now.
It's all online.
Right. People can connect with others from all over the world, share tips, and learn all about this stuff.
It's like a global network of DIY food resilience.
It is. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah.
But it's not just about, like, the practical skills.
What else is there?
Well, there's also this sense of purpose, I think. It's like they're connected to something bigger.
A movement.
Yeah, maybe. A pushback against the system.
So we're talking about individuals having like a ripple effect.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, that's what makes this so interesting, right? We could see.
Oh, that's a good point. And you also have to think about, you know, whether everyone can actually do this.
What do you mean?
Well, organic food can be expensive. And not everyone can afford to, like, stockpile a ton of food.
That's true. Accessibility and affordability are definitely important considerations. And, you know, there's also the problem of misinformation online.
Oh, yeah. You can't believe everything you read on the internet.
Right. So it's crucial to be careful, do your research, and make sure you have all the facts.
Don't just blindly follow the hype.
Exactly. It's about being empowered, not scared.
I like that. Empowerment, not fear.
But I think no matter how you feel about prepping, this whole movement makes you stop and think.
About our food.
Yeah, about where it comes from and the choices we make.
So for everyone listening, what should they take away from all of this?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
It is. What do you think?
Do you see organic prepping as extreme?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just a smart way to adapt to a changing world?
Good question. And, you know, even if prepping isn't for you, there's still things you can do.
Like what?
Well, you could start a garden, learn to can or freeze your own produce. Maybe just add some of those superfoods to your pantry.
Right. Little steps towards self-sufficiency.
It all comes down to being aware and making informed choices.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, this has been a really thought-provoking deep dive. Thanks for joining us as we explored this world of organic prepping.
It's been a pleasure. Always happy to dive into these complex topics with you.
Until next time, keep learning and keep questioning everything.
Thanks for listening to today's story at Micro Prepping. Visit us weekly for updated videos, audio, and stories.